Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. We are nearly at the end of 2021. We have today and one more week worth of podcasts, Lord willing, next Friday. After that episode, we will take a little bit of a break and return, if the Lord wills, at the beginning of 2022. But Roger, we're talking about how a lot can happen in 40 days. We introduced this past Friday that 40 days is a very common thing we see throughout the scriptures. We read about Noah and rain falling for 40 days and 40 nights. We read about Moses being 40 days on Mount Sinai, the spies sent by Joshua being 40 days in the promised land. We even read about Goliath taunting the armies of Israel for 40 straight days. We read about Elijah fleeing Jezebel and traveling 40 days. We read about Jonah foretelling in the heart of the great city of Nineveh that in 40 days God was going to overthrow the city. We read about Jesus fasting in the desert for 40 days. And lastly, in the book of Acts, after his resurrection, Jesus spending 40 days preaching about the kingdom of God. A lot can happen in 40 days. And so last Friday we looked at, in one sense, it goes by really, really slowly.
Yeah, 40 days can seem like a long time. And in some ways it does. But then the other side of that coin is 40 days can seem to fly by. It can seem very, very short. And so that's where we want to kind of park it today. We want to talk about this idea of a lot can happen in 40 days. 40 days will pass before you know it. You just blink three times and it's passed. and to underscore that and really emphasize that, you did a little looking up for us, and 40 days ago from today, it was Halloween.
October 31st.
We already went through November, and here we are mid-December, 40 days. And I expect in some homes are still Halloween candy.
There probably is.
I know some neighbors have still got pumpkins out, okay? And you think, well, when are you going to get to it? Well, it was just yesterday. It flew by fast, okay? And now it's time for Christmas, and we get all those decorations out, and next thing you know, it's going to be time to put them up. So 40 days can emphasize how fast life seems to go. And to put another perspective on that, start with your children and put 10 years on their life. If you've got a 10-year-old, in 10 years, he's going to be 20 years old. You got somebody in their 20s, in 10 years, they're going to be in their 30s. Hard to believe that. How fast? But then you look at your own life and you start adding that 10 years. 10 years from now, I'm going to be, wow. But then you go backwards and think, well, 10 years ago, I was this age, and man, that seemed to go so fast. We can be so busy, we're so caught up in the now that these things happen to us, and they can kind of get to us. So there are some lessons I think we need to see spiritually as we talk about the shortness of life. There's a lot of Bible verses that remind us of this. It talks about life being a vapor in the book of James. And, you know, we may not use the expression vapor. We may think like a fog in the morning, and it burns off by midday. Other times the Bible talks about life being a shadow. It's just very short. Or like a weaver's shuttle, and the idea of someone just passing that cloth of with the weave on in the loom going back and forth like that, and how quickly that goes. And so lots of biblical expressions to remind us that life can be very short. And there's some lessons here that we need to kind of look at.
One of the things that strikes me, if I don't have an awareness or remind myself consistently how quickly this can go, it can make me or give me license to act very lazily, putting off the sorts of things that I need to do. So as I hear you talking about how quickly time goes, I thought of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, where Solomon encourages his son to spend some time looking at ants. He says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer. So think about that. It seems like summer wasn't very long ago at all, right? Here we are at the very end of the year, and in some ways, where in the world did the entire season of fall go, right? But the ant prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in harvest. Why? So that she has something to eat in the wintertime.
You know, there are two kinds of ants. Now, don't be telling me about red ants and fire ants and black ants. There's only two kinds of ants. It's either moving or it's dead.
Okay.
You just never see an ant sitting still and being alive. If he's still, he's dead. Every time you see an ant on your sidewalk or somewhere, he's always moving. Mm-hmm. He's always going. He's busy because time is short. The lifespan of an ant is short. He's busy about doing stuff. And that is a reminder to these things. One of the things that catches up with us very quickly is we spend so much time what I call majoring in the minors.
Yeah.
Things are important, but they're not the most important. That Mary and Martha concept from Luke chapter 10, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus doing what was really necessary and needful. Martha was getting bothered with her cooking, and she was majoring in the minors. You got a clean house. Your house looks like the cover of a magazine. That's great. That's great, but it takes time to do that. You've got a killer yard. Man, your yard just looks like a golf course. That's great. All your pictures are labeled. They're all in the photo albums. Everything's lined up the way it's supposed to be, but there's that character flaw. You just keep pushing to the background. There's that person you just cannot forgive, and you keep putting that off. There are some things that you have that you're just not doing. There's some habits that you need to stop. There's some things you need to be doing. You need to be having more hospitality. You need to be connecting more with the church. And how easy it is for us to say, well, I just don't have time. I don't have time because I've got this yard, I got this house, I got these pictures, I got all this stuff to do. But sometimes all we're doing is majoring in the minors. And we need to put the first things first. And that's a lesson that helps all of us.
So the trap of saying someday, right? One day when? When I've got a little bit more flexibility on the job, or the kids are a little older, or the kids have left home, or the kids are out on their own and able to maybe help me a little bit more, and I just keep pushing it further and further and further. We read about people in the Bible falling into that sort of a mindset, right? We read about an official telling the Apostle Paul, as Paul reasons with him, this is what you need to do now, deciding, well, at a more convenient time, I will give attention to these things that really matter.
And what we find about that is time waits for no one. You can't say, okay, I can put pause on my show I'm watching and I'll come back to it later. But you can't put pause on life. Life goes on. So I'm busy right now doing this other stuff. I'll come back to this. Life goes on, whether you're there or not. I remember reading this little story years ago. It's kind of written like a poem. But this person said, I was dying to finish school so I could get out on my own. Then I was dying to get my own apartment. Then I was dying to get out of the apartment and get my own house. And I was just dying to get married. And then I was dying to have kids. I was dying for the kids to grow up and get out. I was dying to retire. And finally, at the end of the story, today I found out I am dying, and I never remembered to live. And that's what can happen.
Sobering.
It is. Keep kicking that can down the road. Tomorrow I will do these things. So in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Diligence. Get about it. Do it now. He'd tell the Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. And so when we think about this idea of 40 days goes very, very fast, not only does time wait for no one, but death isn't patient. Death doesn't wait for you to get everything together. It doesn't say, well, now you haven't written your will, so I'm going to hold off until you get that done. No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't say, I'm going to wait till you finish your degree. I'm going to wait till you finish building that house. Death comes when God sends it, and whether we're ready or not, it's going to come. And so throughout all this, we see the importance of putting the first things first. Seek ye first is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so there's a sense of priorities, a sense of urgency. There's things that I may not get done in life, and that's okay. But there's some things I must get done in life, and that's up to me to get that order in order.
Jesus described it in Luke chapter 12 as being rich toward God, right? He draws this contrast, encouraging his disciples to take care, be on your guard against all covetousness. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of your possessions. And maybe at first our human minds struggle with, well, what is more valuable than my possessions? And it's almost like Jesus says, well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about the land of a rich man that produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I've got nowhere to store all of these crops. And so I'll tear down my barns. I'll build larger ones. There is where I'll store all of my grain and my goods. And finally, I'll be able to say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. This man expects to live many more years. He expects that he is on the brink of the good life, where he can relax and eat and drink and be merry. But he didn't have 40 years. He didn't even have 40 days. He didn't even have 40 hours. God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then Jesus, in a very real sense, continues to look us in the eye and says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Absolutely. And so there's, again, that sense of priority, sense of living for heaven every day. Live as if, what if this was my last day? And, you know, we can always put things off. Well, I'm going to get to doing this. I'm going to do this sometime, but we never get to doing that as we should. Now, we're going to put a very honest, Jason didn't know I'm going to do this, but we're going to put a very honest picture on this. Jason, in 10 years, you're going to be how old?
Oh boy. Well, I tell you what, let me just pull out my calendar here. Today is Friday, December 10th. On Monday, December 13th, I turn 43. So 10 years from now, I will be on the brink of turning 53.
Okay, my turn.
10 years from now, Roger.
10 years, I am 64. 10 years from now, I will be 74. That just sounds ancient. and I don't really see myself doing this in 10 years. I mean, I just, you know, in my image of 74 is one step in the home. I don't know. You know, it's just, but when you look at that, okay, I look at what I've been doing. I've been preaching 41 years full time. That's a ton of sermons, ton of articles, tons of things I've done. But in a lot of ways, it's gone so fast. It really does. And when you add layers and layers and layers and layers of memories on you, sometimes you forget some of those things. And you just go through another week, another month, another year, and next thing you know, man, I got a decade. I got 3 decades. I got 4 decades. I'm knocking on 70. I'm knocking on 80. Those things happen very, very quickly. And so the perspective of all that is, there's three or four things I really need to do. Number one, I got to make time for family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of us were in the middle of our careers. We're building our careers. We're trying to get established. But those kids at home won't always be at home. I've got four kids and none of them live at home. They're all out on their own, have their own families. And you can't say, well, hey, why don't y'all come back home and just live with me? No, that doesn't happen. Once they're out. And you can't kick that can down the road. The talks you need to have, the examples you need to live and to show them, it has to take place today. It really does. And then building a fellowship. We talk about fellowship in the Bible as kind of a big corporate church thing, but it's an individual thing to develop friendships spiritually, to have people that are in your lives you can always turn to. And that takes time. And so, again, we can be so busy with the now that, you know, later on I'm going to have some people over in my house. Later on I'm going to get this guy a call. Later on, and pretty soon that later on never happens. And I know a lot of Christians who feel very, very lonely because they don't have a fellowship that they have built themselves. It takes time to do that. You need to do that. You need to get about that now. And then developing your character, being the person that God wants you to be. And, you know, you've heard the preachers of old always talk about, you know, this guy who dies at a young age, it does happen. And guys die at middle age, and it does happen. And this, to realize that who I am is going to be based upon my everyday choices. And so if I put it off this day, I put it off this day, I put it off this day, pretty soon I'm not the person I should be because I keep putting it off. And so spend that time to get in God's word and to lower the nets and really learn the God's word. Be a person of integrity. Be a person whose word really matters. Be a servant like Jesus wants you to be. Those are things that you cannot put off because there may not be another time.
All right. So before we're done, let's put on a practical set of lenses here. We began by saying 40 days ago from today, it was October 31st, Halloween. While you were just talking, I did a little bit of counting. 40 days from today is Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. A lot can happen in 40 days. If we listen to those simple areas of life that you were just highlighting, Roger, how much better could our family relationships at home be if for the next 40 days we were deliberate in connecting with children at home, connecting with our spouses at home? If we were a part of every assembly of worship and Bible class for the next 40 days, what sort of state could our faith be in if we read the Bible every day, a little bit of scripture for the next 40 days? How might that impact our character for good? In a lot of ways, 40 days seems like a long time. We mentioned last Friday this old adage that the days are long, but the years are short. We're going to blink two or three times, and we're going to be airing, if the Lord wills, this week at Charlestown Road on Wednesday, January 19th. And it will be really easy to turn around and ask, where did all of that time go?
And, you know, we find wonderful little avenues to, park excuses at, like, what's the holidays? Yeah. And you can't do stuff at the holidays. And, well, it's the start of a new year and, you know, busy at work and I gotta get tax stuff kind of lined up. And what we're doing is those 40 days become 80, those 80 days become 160. Next thing we know, here we are in December 2022 and we think, wow, that went by fast. But it doesn't go any faster than anyone else. That's the unique thing about time. The bum that sleeps on the park bench, he has the same hours in a day as the busiest CEO. The athlete who's training has the same amount of time as the college student, as the president, as the pilot, as the preacher. We all have the same amount of time. It's not that back in the first century, one day was actually 80 hours. No, it was the same as it is today. Nothing has changed. And so what is the matter of is what am I packing in these days? What am I bringing? You know, we had one of our little grandkids stayed with us the other day, and they like to pack their own little suitcase, and they stuff it full of everything, all their blankets and their toys. They put some snacks in there. They forget their pajamas. They forget the toothbrushes. And Mama always has to bring another suitcase because they don't bring the essentials. Well, that can be us too. And we can pack our lives full of stuff, but we forgot the essentials.
A lot can happen in 40 days. What sort of person do you want to be? Where do you want to be in your journey of discipleship 40 days from today? Roger, for what it's worth, I have a hard time believing that Mr. Jumpstart won't be going strong 10 years from now. We'll see.
I'm kind of shuddering to think what thoughts I'll be writing by then, but who knows? Who knows?
Well, thanks for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. We encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.